Mrs. Reynolds, reel 4.
What colour was it?
Khaki.
Khaki, a light...
Khaki suit and black silk tammies.
And a black tie?
Black tie, mm.
Black shoes and
black
stockings?
Black shoes and stockings, yeah. I don't know if we had to wear, but I always used to wear black shoes and stockings, and a black tie and a black silk hat. I don't know if it was a regulation uniform, you know what I mean, but that definitely was like the khaki. We had to wear them in any case.
Were you allowed to wear any jewellery?
I don't think so.
If you had something, your
we didn't. The other no, I don't think so. I think some of the women used to wear a plain wedding ring, but I don't think at Slade's Greenwood was allowed to wear anything like that. No, no matches, no nothing there.
Did they really search you?
Oh yes. Mm. Yeah, at Slade's Green, we had sentries all there. At Slade's Green, all barbed wire all the way round, and sentries like on sentry go, like in case anyone. Well, because anyone could have come up there, really. It was all like open country. Oh, yes.
Were there any spies around, or did you hear stories of
them? Never heard of any, love, no. Never heard of any, no. No. Oh, and I'll tell you another thing. Because we used to come home, we used to come from Dartford through to London Bridge. Well, one day, one girl came in down at, Willie Jars, no? I think it was. Anyhow, this girl came in, so she said, here, there's a lot of German prisoners down at near Kidbrook, you know. And so, of course, we all went the other way around home to see these German prisoners. They were only young boys, you know. And they all had, like, little round hats on, you know what I mean? Well, when they saw all us girls looking out the carriage window... No, it must have been Slade's Green, that's right, because I was still yellow. And when they saw all us girls looking out the window, they all pulled their... You know, poor little devils. All putting their hats off, like, you know, must say hello, you know. Oh, and I thought... Good God, Germans, like, talking to us, you know. So I said, we'll go around that way the next night. So we went around the next night, and as we come near them, like, you know, I don't know if it was running into Kidbrook Station or just running out, but I know the train was going a bit on the slow side. And I'm saying, shh, 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 shh. And I say, you can laugh after us, can't you? I mean, poor little devils, I mean, they had to go the same as our men, didn't they? But they look so bewildered, and I say, whatever she's trying to do, you know, I'm saying, look, shh, shh, shh.
What did you think of Germans then?
Well, of course, we hated them more or less, didn't we? I mean, you couldn't do anything else because, I mean, but since then, I mean, one chap I knew, he married a German girl. Oh, she was lovely, you know. She used to say to me, look, Queen, your men had to fight, now men had to fight. See, what could they had to go? Well, of course they had to go. But what's don't you think it's stupid war? Don't you think so? Where are we now? There's all those lovely boys being killed, aren't they? And we're worse off than we've ever been, haven't we? Can't get a room, can't get nothing. So, what's the good of war, love?
Did any of your friends or relations die in the war?
Well, a lot of boys that I knew died. And someone was only 16. And my husband, when he came home, he said he went through a cemetery, like, during the war. Said he had a lovely tombstone, or a lovely place and the like. He said, but when the Germans threw them back in 1918, he said, oh, my God, he said, you've just seen that cemetery, he said to me. He said, it was smashed to pieces, he said. Oh, I said, don't tell his mother. Oh, no, I wouldn't tell his mother. They were only boys.
When someone lost a friend or a brother, would they wear mourning?
Oh, I don't think there was much mourning. Well, there was too many dying, wasn't there, girl? Too many.
Do you remember anyone at work wearing a mourning band on the uniform?
No, I can't remember, no. I did. Well, I tell you, this little Lil that used to come upstairs with me, like, into the office, her husband was missing, but, she never heard no more, so whether he was dead or not, I don't know, because, you see, while they're just still missing, you can't do nothing about it, you see. Mm.
So even after the war, she never knew what happened?
I don't know. I never saw her after the war, love. I know they put us down to this factory of tea, breaking up the bullets. And then as far as I can remember, they threw us all out on the slag heap. Nothing. I believe, I don't want to tell you a lot, I believe that was the beginning of the dole. Because so many thousand of us, we walked to the Houses of Parliament, you know, protesting against all being thrown out like we was, you know. And we got... I never knew what I didn't... You see, I don't know if you know now, but you see, you mustn't go. You've got to keep so far away from Parliament while they're sitting. Did you know that?
No,
neither did I. So, of course, thousands of us went, it must have been 2,000 or 3,000, walked over the bridge, and we went right up to the door of the House of Parliament, and before you could say Jack Robinson, darling, there was hundreds of policemen on horseback, dispersed us, and I saw one little Irish girl, you know, was with us. She pulled the reins down to this horse, you know what I mean? But we run for our life, we all run down the embankment, we run everywhere, you know, because these policemen came out. But I believe, as far as I can remember, that was the beginning of the Dole. Lloyd George, I think, gave us that then. See?
They fired you from Woolwich after the war.
Oh, yes, we was all thrown out, you know, and I said, oh, that's it, it's finished. Well, I tell you, a little while, it couldn't have been long after, because I tell you, in February 1919, I was working for myself, and the war didn't finish till November 1918, so it couldn't have been long after. But I know they did take us down this other factory, and they broke up the bullets, and we had to, like, you know, put one piece and one piece the other. Yeah.
What was Armistice Day like at the end of the war? Were there any celebrations?
Tell you the truth, my dad died 2 days before the armistice, darling, so that I was, and I loved my dad, you know. And he died with that terrible flu. That was a shocking thing, you know. And I know on the armistice day, my mum had gone to register his death, and I did, because they used to keep the bodies in the house then, you know. My dad was laying in the front room in his coffin. And I tell you, my mum had just had a little baby. And I heard the Maroons go off. And, of course, I thought it was another air. I didn't know nothing about the armistice, see, because we'd been up night and day with my dad with this terrific flu. And, of course, when I heard the Maroons go, I thought it was another air raid. And I can remember running to the door with my little sister, like my baby, in my arms. And someone said, oh, look at Queen. I suppose I was, you know, so frightened, and they run over to me. But I don't remember nothing about the armistice, really. Not a lot, because, as I say, like, I was in so much trouble. Not like I did the second one, like the BE don't, because, you know, they did have problems. But I think everyone was just about fed up with it.
Did they allow you to have a few days off from work to take care of your father when he was so ill?
Oh, no, I didn't stop work, love, no. Well, Mum was there, like, in 2 or 3, yeah. Yes, he had that, you know, that Spanish flu.
Yes, that was very bad.
Oh! We were lucky we knew an undertaker, so that my dad was buried, like, you know, within about a week or so, but some of the poor things was lying for 2 or 3 weeks. They couldn't bury them. See, they never had the men to do it, like, to make the coffins and nothing. In fact, I did hear that just by where my dad laid up, probably still they buried him in a pit, because I don't know if that's right or not, you know, but I know you couldn't get coffins.
Were there many men working at Woolwich?
Oh, thousands, love. Thousands.
Why weren't they in the army?
Well, I don't know. I suppose, I tell you, this lot, when we first went there, but whether they took some of them out after and put women in their places, I couldn't say. But these men at Slade's Green had all been in the war and come back wounded, you know. Oh, no, there was thousands of men. I tell you, these days, they used to swagger around. Well, as I say, they was earning pretty good money, like, as regards to money then, you know, they thought they were the cat's whiskers. Oh, I used to go mad. She got all the white-livered what's-names I could lay my tongue to. They used to laugh at me when I was only a kid, you know. Oh, yeah, people used to go out and put white feathers in the men's buttonholes, didn't they, if they didn't go to the war? But I think when they realised afterwards, when it, you know, what it was like, they... Well, in the Second War, I would never told anybody to go and meet, because I thought, oh, my God. But there you are, as this German girl said to me, what can you do if war broke out tomorrow? They'd have to go, wouldn't they? There's no about they couldn't go, they'd have to go. So that's all it amounts to, girl.
In the First World War, did you know any conscientious objectors?
No.
Who refused to go?
No, 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 no.
Some people, when they talk about the munitions workers in the First World War, complain that they got such high wages and they spent all their money on, jewellery and perfume and things.
I didn't. I used to send, I'm telling you the truth, girlie, I used to send pound parcels to the boys. I came out the war with hardly a penny, and I thought, thank God my conscience is clear. Because some of them did have some money. Well, most of my husband's, see, my husband was the baby. Well, most of his sister's husbands didn't go to the war, you know what I mean? And they came out of it quite, you know, quite comfortably off. Because, as I say, my husband came out of it with nothing, because it was only a shilling a day. And he came over and he hadn't got very good home circumstances. And I found two back rooms and we got married. And I even bought his boots to get married in, girlies, I can tell you. I paid 39 and 6. I can remember as if it's only yesterday they are. And that's about 55 or 56 years ago. But we found two back rooms because I thought he was laying in an underground kitchen, you know what I mean? And I thought, well, he's had enough of that in the trenches, so that's how. But of course we there was no work when the war ended, starving nearly we were. Thank God I had a good mother. She often used to give me 0.5 crown, you know, 12.5 pence. Get a bit of dinner, but I mean, there was no work, and because I mean, we didn't know anything about preventing. I had a baby like 11 months after I got married, you know.
Were most of the munitions girls like you and sending parcels?
Oh, no, a lot of them had a good time, girl. Yes, a lot of them had a good time.
How many days a week did you work?
We used to work 13 days out of 14.
So,
they had no weekend break.
The day off would not necessarily be on the weekend.
Oh, no, it used to, like in a rota. I remember one night coming home from the arsenal. My sister-in-law, we were only talking about it the other day. And I went straight to my brother, the one that had his, because he couldn't go, he had to go on munitions, he had those two. I went straight to our house, and I must have been, they undressed me and put me to bed, and I don't even remember. Because, you see, it was 12 hours work, an hour and a half each way travelling. And then if there was a warning in London, you see, you didn't go to bed, love. See? You didn't go to bed if there was air raid on.
How did you get to Woolwich?
Tram. By tram. Right through Greenwich and that way, you know. Mm. Mm. But Slade's Green Hotel, we used to go from London Bridge.
Yes. At Woolwich, did they give you money for travel?
No. No,
they so came had out. To come out of your wages.
I think our wages, as far as I know, our wages have been right down. I think they've been down to about a pound or a guinea because, you know, I thought, well, I earned more than that at the other place, you know what I mean? Because I'm trying to tell you as near as I can, lovey. I mean, I wouldn't want to tell you any lies, know what I mean? Not unless, you know, but I know it went right down and I know it, I think we had about a pound or 30 shillings extra, which was a lot of money.
What did you do when you had a day off?
Oh, I used to be nearly always asleep, girly, or, you know, well, until 13 days out of 14, or perhaps I'd do a bit of washing at home. Never went out anywhere. Well, I've never been one. Never, I mean, as I say, in the First War, someone was ever so gay, you know, I've been a proper old, you know, stop at home. And then, as I say, I got married when the war ended, and, of course, I had the baby, and he was out of work, we had no money, so, I've never really been one to have a gay life, if you understand my meaning. See?
What sort of things did your friends like to do on their day off?
I never hardly ever see anybody, darling. Not the Woolwich girls.
Were the people who were working at Woolwich from all over the country, all types of people?
Oh, yes. I tell you, a lot of these girls come up. North Lauren was pregnant, poor little devils. But as I say, Lady Bow, she was ever so good to them. Looked after them well, you know. Mm.
Some of the wealthier women went to work in the munitions.
Oh, yes.
As well.
Yes, we had two girls. Their father was a Northampton big boot manufacturer. Well, some of the girls I worked with, you know, they could use some lovely language, you know. And these two girls, of course, they used to have lovely high-legged boots, you know, which we never had. And I know they were passing through in the factory one night, and one of the girls I was working with like, said something lovely about it, and they turned around and they let out such a lovely string of swear words themselves. They said, look, don't think because we've come from rich people that we don't understand swear words, because we can use them as well, you know. And it took this girl back because she thought, you know, because they were posh, you know, that they'd never heard a swear word in their life before, you know. Yes, I can remember that. Yes.
Did they keep to themselves or did they join in talking with the others?
Well, I don't remember, because I think they worked further down the factory. But, of course, we was, us crowd, like, was always together, like, you know, just your own click on your bench, you know. Yes. because now and again, like about, because I was, I'm not bragging, but I was always like the ringleader, if you understand what I mean. And sometimes, because you used to get so browned off, like working night and day, night and day. Sometimes about 12 o'clock or perhaps 11 in the morning, if it was daylight, I'd say to the girls, oh, come on, pack up, we'll have the afternoon off. We'd go, I don't know where it was, but there was all American and Canadian soldiers at this place. I said, now, look, all keep together, you know. Although I was only young, and even then, like, although we'd not got the permissive society, but we still knew, like, right from wrong, you know. I said, let's all go down and have a good old laugh, you know. So we went down there, or two or three times. And I palled in with a German-American come from Buffalo, New York, you know. And anyhow, he went out to France, because that town's always ugly, you know. And I went out, he went out to France. And I went in one morning with a letter. I said, gather around, girls. I said, I've just heard from Peter. And he put in it, I love you, I love you, I love you. You are the most beautiful girl in the world. They said, what's the matter with this oversight, you know? I said, now look, I said, when a man can stand there and say you are the most beautiful girl, I said, he must love me, you know.